Glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm healed. I'm glad I'm delivered. Praise God. I'm glad I'm heaven bound. I don't know how you can't be fired up as a Christian, right? The Christian who isn't fired up just doesn't know some things, because we have a lot to be fired up about. Praise God. A lot to be thankful for. But if you have your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the highlight of our week, the gathering around His Word. We're blessed to be able to come to church in America, you know, and to gather together. And we just encourage those that are watching online. We do want to let you know we've provided a safe place for you, social distancing and things like that. But just continue to build your faith. God wants you here. His plan is the local church. And we want to see you again. We miss you. But you do that when you're ready, you know, and your faith's built up and you feel a release to come back. We're here with open arms waiting for you. Praise God. But let's go ahead and let's pray. We need utterance tonight. We need boldness. Father, we're here to hear from heaven. Lord, yes, you speak things and do things through human beings. But Father, I just want to be like a rag doll and just say and do whatever you want me to do tonight, Father. I don't want this to be my purpose, my ideas, my plans, my thoughts, philosophies, or theories. Father, we need heaven tonight. And Father, the Apostle Paul said this, that he would speak with boldness and utterance. That's your will. Father, it's your will that people hear from heaven tonight. And so, Father, I've done my part. You'll do your part. And I believe the people have shown up hungry, ready to receive to do their part. So we thank you. We're going to have a move of heaven tonight. Father, say what you want said. If you want to do things in this service, Father, interrupt us. We're here for you, Father. A good service is a service that we followed the Holy Ghost and hit the mark. And so, Father, we thank you for what's going to be spoken here tonight. And Father, we give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for the boldness, for the utterance, for the bullseyes that will be hit in each and every person's heart. And we'll give you the praise for it, for the change and for the increase. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I forgot to mention, I was thinking about this as I was praying, it came up that reminded me, was that Pastor Michael's going to be ministering here on September 12th, Saturday, September 12th. So I'm asking you to come out and support that meeting, support Pastor Michael, because without Pastor Michael, there's no Family Church of Allegheny. There's no Pastor Mike Anderson, and he's been such a blessing in my life. And I know this, that the role that he plays, not only in the body of Christ, but within the family churches, we need to be ready to receive from him. Amen? He's got a word for us. He's got something to say from heaven to bring us to the next level, to bless us. And so I'm encouraging all of you, please make that a priority to hear from heaven. He's a gift to the body of Christ, and he's a gift to our lives personally. And so I'm excited to know what he's going to share for the churches, because, you know, and also I already have him scheduled to come back in November. We need to hear from him more. Amen. And so let's honor that gift. We will take up a special offering at the end of that service that night. So come ready to give, come ready to receive, and just be faithful to show up as well, because you don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, of course, this is part 3 of our love series. Just a little bit of review. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, not having heard. And also, we need to remind you of some things. Paul said this, Peter said, he said, it's not, I don't mind reminding you, because if I remind you of things, you'll get it and stay safe. Praise God. And I don't know, you know, I talk about love being like the umbrella. And everything else falls under the category of love. If love walk and love's not in place, your healing might not be there. Your faith's not going to be there. Provision, different things. And so we're learning some things and making adjustments and tweaking things that need to be tweaked. But in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 was kind of our keynote scriptures that we started with. It says, be followers of God as dear children. And that seems like a good idea. Copycat perfection. Copycat the undefeated one, right? Copycat the one that doesn't struggle. Copycat the one that's not confused. Copycat the one that's not weak, that's not up there pacing the floor. No, he's sure of himself, right? He's in a place of authority. He's in a place of knowledge. He's in a place of power. It says to imitate that. And it says the way we can imitate him the most because of who he is walk in love, verse 2. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So the Bible tells us here, and I've told you as a pastor that when I deal with people, if you really boil it down and reduce it, you know, that's a cooking term. I've seen those on cooking shows where they say, we're going to reduce it down to something. If you really reduce it down, a lot of times when people struggle, they just aren't imitating him. They're not thinking right, which is leading to wrong believing and wrong talking. They're not talking right, which is leading to wrong receiving, right? They're not living right or acting right, which is sowing into the wrong realm and reaping in the wrong realm. And a lot of times if you boil it down or reduce that down to why are people struggling, it really boils down to they're just not copying him. Amen? It says walk in love. Copy him. We need to be like him. And we see why this is so important in some of these verses that we're going to review in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. These verses here, this review, cannot be overlooked. Because if you overlook these verses, the rest of what I say is going to sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And maybe I already sound like that to you. Say, Pastor Mike, I always thought you were Charlie Brown's teacher. Because when I watch Charlie Brown and I hear the teacher, that sounds exactly like you. If that's the case, Houston, we have a problem. But if I don't get over to you this part of it, this is why we're reviewing, to get it into you, none of the rest matters. But it says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, love never fails. Love never fails. Well, 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. So it's not only talking about just the force of love, because it's not just talking about God here, because it's telling us to actually live this way or walk this way, but it's twofold. It's telling you who God is, but also how we are to act. But it would be true in both statements, both cases, you could say it this way. God's never failed. And he's love. And love is the force that never fails. God, the miracles that God produced on the earth that we read about, because he's love, those miracles or that power flowed from a place of agape or perfect love. The miracle working flow that you desperately need in your life, whether now or in the future, is not going to have an environment to work or manifest if love's not there, because love is the highest flow. Love is the miracle flow of God, because he is love. And so we need to make sure that we get that. And one of the verses that we see is Galatians 5, 6. This verse, when talking about the importance of love, cannot be overlooked. It cannot just be brushed aside. And well, if it's optional, well, if your healing's optional, if your provision's optional, if your peace of mind is optional, if your children walking into everything that God has for them is optional, then yes, this verse is optional. But if you want to get over into the other side of things that are trying to hinder you from all those good things that God says we can have, then this verse is not optional. It says in Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ, quiet down, kids. We need you to be paying attention, be helping us out here. In Galatians 5, 6, it says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. He says, but what does avail or what is important is faith. Faith, we know that. Pastor Mike has preached it and yelled to you, faith, faith, faith. But faith which worketh, or the Amplified says, activated, energized, powered by love. Why can't you expect the miracle working flow? Well, God's miracle power flows in on the wings of faith. And there is no faith for God to flow in on if you are not in love. Walking in the God kind of love. He says faith is what powers it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not worth it to stay out of love. Your mind will tell you it's better to hold that grudge. Your flesh will tell you it feels better to be angry and bitter and be unforgiving. And your flesh will promote that, and the devil will promote that, and the world will promote that, right? We'll see in the Bible tonight the natural way of things is vengeance, is payback, right? It's not worth it. Why? You're sacrificing your faith. You're sacrificing your miracle. You're sacrificing your victory. Love never fails, and love is the fuel that powers your faith. You can't afford to be out of love. And then we saw in 1 Corinthians 14:1. See, I have to remind you because I wasn't here. Some big tall guy up here yapping at you last week, and he might have got you all confused now, you know, and I got to get you back here. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Remember, Paul says this. He says, follow after love. Now, Kim Lai, would you please pull that up in the Amplified, because it does exactly what it's intended to do. It amplifies it for us. Eagerly pursue. Now, remember, he just got done saying in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 31, that love was the more excellent way. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4, he said, without love, you're nothing. He said it over and over again. He said, you can do all these great things or believe or have all these gifts, but if you're not in love, they're not going to amount to anything. And then he said in verse 8, it never fails. And so he says all that to say, so eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, right? So love is the target, but on a target, there's a bullseye, isn't there? And we told you, love has a big target. There's phileo love, there's eros love, there's storge love, and those are the different words for love, but there's also agape love. And so there's different places on the love target. You can hit eros, you can hit storge, you can hit phileo, but the bullseye that he's telling us is the love that never fails, is the more excellent way, is the love that fuels your faith. That love is the bullseye of agape love. And remember the last time I was here, that's what we spent the whole night on, talking about what is the target, what is agape love. And the best way to define agape love is in John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34, it tells us, because what in the world's agape love? What does that look like? I'm so glad that God gave a simpleton like me a great example like Jesus to know exactly what agape love is. I don't have to figure it out, or I don't have to consult with my flesh, because my flesh will tell me it's something different. I don't have to consult with my mind, because my mind will tell me it's something different. I'm thankful he just puts it right out there as easy as can be. It says in John 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment, he stressed it, I give unto you, that you love. That word love is not phileo, eros, or storge love. It is that you agape one another. Okay, so now we found out. Okay, the love that never fails, the way that God is agape. Agape never fails. Agape is the more excellent way. The greatest of these is agape, hope. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest of those things. Those are all agape. Agape is what powers your faith. So Jesus is now telling us, hit the bullseye of agape. Okay, but what does that look like? And then he tells us, as I have loved you, love one another. Wow. It gives new meaning to the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in that situation? Well, we know one thing he would do is he would come from a place of love. Amen? Jesus was love, and we see so many different scenarios, but one of the things that we see about agape that we said the major identifier of this target, the major thing that we identify this agape love is by the fact that it's not feeling based. And this is what trips people up the most from stepping into agape love and continuing in agape love. Why? Because your feelings, your flesh, and your mind is loud at times. And your feelings, your flesh, and your mind are at war with the spirit realm or the God realm or the agape realm. And so what love would do is not necessarily what your flesh would do. What agape love would do is not necessarily the thoughts that you would have, right? And so that's the battle. That's the problem why most people don't step into it. Their feelings tell them one thing, their thoughts tell them one thing, and they live by their feelings and they live by their thoughts. But Jesus said, love one another. Well, the way he loved us was he went to the cross and we heard his feelings, didn't we? His feelings were on display in the garden. His feelings weren't hidden or covered or hidden from us. They were out in the open. What were his feelings? I don't want to do this. Can I get out? Can we change this? Can we do something different here? But what did he do? Agape love compelled him to what? Give himself unconditionally for the worst of us. That's what agape love is. The God kind of love doesn't need to feel before it acts. The God kind of love doesn't need something good done to it before it does something good. It just loves unconditionally. What does it do? It forgives. It's merciful. It's kind. It doesn't kick when one is down. Amen. Hallelujah. It's sacrificial. It's selfless. Let me tell you something. We live in a culture, and unfortunately it's creeped into the church so much, where we have a bunch of self-absorbed, selfish people. It's true. What can I get? What can I get out of this? All about me, 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 me. And Jesus was all about everybody else. Putting everybody else before him. That's the characteristics. That's the traits. That's the qualities of agape love. And people say, I don't know if I want to pay that price. Well, then your healing's not worth it to you. Your faith's not worth it to you. Praise God. So we saw at the end of that service, Romans 5 and verse 5, and then we'll get to what we're talking about tonight. But we need to hear this. We need to hear this over and over again about this love. Because I'll tell you, one thing that's tested almost on a daily basis is your love walk. Whether it's through a thought that comes. How many of you know? Well, I'll just think wrong things. You don't think God sees your thoughts? Listen, you can't stop thoughts from coming in your head at times. Sometimes you're the culprit of causing them to come by availing yourself to wrong things. But there's times, you ever been just minding your own business and a thought flies through your head that's totally ungodly or against somebody? Well, you can't stop, Brother Hagin said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. You don't sit there and think on it. Well, thoughts come in your head. What are you going to do with those thoughts? You're going to think on that negatively and what you'd like to do to that person, what you hope happens to that person. What? That's not love, right? Thought, action, word, everything. We need to be walking in love. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 5, the good news is hope makes not ashamed because the agape of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, I sent a slick text out to you today. And I said, we're going to talk about love tonight, but I said, that love that lives on the inside of us, we have to make sure that it doesn't just stay there. That is not, it's not meant to just be in here for us. It's meant to be in here for us to be cultivated to come out to the world, praise God. But here's the thing. To tap in to the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, we have to understand something about love because you can't tap into it naturally. The agape love is not acquired or walked out by natural things. Go to Galatians 5 and verse 22. Now we're picking up something new in this series and going forward. Why? We want to walk in love. We want to hit the mark. Praise God. Galatians 5 and verse 22 says this. But the fruit of the mind, the fruit of the flesh, no, the fruit of the spirit. Well, the fruit of an apple tree is something, the fruit that you take from an apple tree or falls to the ground, or you pick off that tree, came from the tree. So the fruit of the spirit is something that's coming from the Spirit. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. Look what the first fruit of the Spirit is that's mentioned. Love. And guess what that love just happens to be? agape love. The fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. Now, I'll get back to this in a second, but here's what you need to know. How did we acquire this? Remember, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. When was the love of God shed abroad in your hearts? The same time that you got the Holy Ghost. This, or when you got reborn and the Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of you, the fruit of that regeneration of the Holy Ghost coming on the inside of you was love. The part of the, if you think about this fruit of the Spirit, if you think about the fruit of a tree, think about the Spirit being the tree and different fruits growing from the tree. Well, it goes on and tells you a bunch of different fruits that come from the Spirit realm, but what we're talking about is love. But notice this, that it's a fruit of the Spirit, that it comes from the Spirit as analogy of a fruit. Well, think about a fruit that comes from a tree. Not all apple trees are created equal. The apple trees that I see in the woods when I'm deer hunting, the deer sure like them, but most of those apples aren't anything that I would pick and put in my basket to take home. An apple tree or a fruit tree, for it to be successful, I know I used to work on a fruit farm and talking with people and reading about this and studying some of this stuff, it has to be cultivated, it has to be taken care of for the fruit to grow successfully, to be sweet, and to look what the way you want it to look. In fact, I was looking up just some things to just bring here to be an analogy, but apple tree care. Now, this is just basic apple tree care. By properly controlling the insects and disease, listen, I want to say this, and I want you to hear what I say after this that will really bring it to light while I'm reading this. By properly controlling insects and disease, fertilizing, and regularly pruning the trees, you can enjoy the beauty and fruit of this tree on your landscape for years. What a commercial for apple trees. During the early spring and summer, fungicide applications are essential to prevent disease and produce healthy, high-quality fruit. Notice it doesn't say, don't do absolutely anything to the apple tree. Just leave the apple tree completely alone and just expect it to grow perfect and beautiful fruit. The farm that I was on with the grapes and the cherries, they didn't just say, well, there's grapes, vines, and there's cherry trees. Let's just do nothing to them and expect the fruit to grow and look perfect. No. There had to be watering and cultivating and pruning and different types of things for that fruit to be successful. Well, the same thing is of the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts. But to have that fruit come forth, to be a valuable thing to the world, to your life, to the, what you'd say, the eater of it, the receiver of it, there needs to be work done to cultivate that fruit. And that's what we're talking about, praise God. Cultivating that fruit that's in you, that fruit of love. Because if you just let it, well, I'll give you an example. When we bought our house, there were like four blueberry bushes on the property. And oh, we got them, we got that house in the springtime. We moved in March. It was right before Abby was born. So here we go, going into summertime. I'll just tell you this, those blueberry bushes and those blueberries have not looked as good and plentiful since the first year we moved in, 6 years later. Why? I'm a little different caretaker than the lady and the husband that had the property before me. Why? What happened was it was left alone, and it still started producing, but it started to go downhill and downhill. Why? Work needs to be done. We want this love to grow, to shine, to be a blessing, to work in our benefit. It can't just be, well, I have the love of God. No. For it to come forth and be a fruit that people want to pick from and be blessed from, we have to cultivate it. Say, is it worth it? Is your healing worth it? Is your faith worth it? Is your prosperity worth it? Hallelujah. If those things are worth it to you, then it's worth it. But here's what I want you to see, is that this fruit is a fruit of the mind? No. A fruit of the flesh? No. It is a fruit of the Spirit. So what is it? What are we saying? It's not the mind that needs to be cultivated. It's not the flesh that needs to be cultivated. It's the spirit realm that the work has to be done with. I want to show you that this agape love is not a natural thing. If you're trying to figure it out and work it in the natural, you'll never get it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. This agape love cannot be walked out in the... It's meant to be walked out in the natural, but it can't be solved and figured out and grown in the natural realm. In fact, there's nothing natural about it, except that it manifests in the natural to be a blessing. But Matthew chapter, 5 and verse 43. Now look at this. Jesus said, now I want you to pay attention to this, talking about natural versus the spiritual. Jesus said, you have heard. So he's talking to people, and he's saying, you've heard it this way before. That means they heard this with their natural ears. Well, who are they hearing it from? They're hearing it from another natural source, right? That's who they're hearing this from. Hearing what? That you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus is saying, you've heard this before. But it's important to know, where have they heard that before? Another natural source. But then look at what he says in verse 44. But I say to you, or now you're going to hear, but who's the source that's saying that? Jesus, even though it was in the natural, he wasn't a natural being, so to speak. He was God on the earth. He was the Word of God, or the spirit realm. He's saying, now what I'm saying to you from a different place, from a different realm, is that you love agape your enemies. So what is he saying? The natural realm promotes and tells you eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, revenge, payback, right? He's saying, but the new realm that I'm telling you need to operate from is the realm of loving the people that normally we're being trained to hate, that we're being trained to go against. In fact, he goes on to say, love your enemies, bless them. Come on, quiet down now. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now let me ask you a question. When are you ever going to think that you want to or feel like wanting to love people that are enemies? Or blessing ones that are cursing you? When are you going to get up and feel, yay, this is exciting. I'm really excited to pray for people that are terrible to me and persecute me. You're never, ever, as long as you live on this earth, your flesh and your mind are never going to want to do those things. Ever. In fact, if you completely stay in the mental and carnal realm, you are going to hate your neighbor. You are going to pay back. You are going to have revenge. You are going to talk bad about people. It's a spiritual thing. Do you see that there? Praise God. I said, do you see that there? Praise God. Amen. Make sure you see that there now. Hallelujah. So he goes on to say, for that you may be, he says, if you'll do this in verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father. What's that? A completely spiritual realm. Who's in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Even the publicans or the natural people do the same. So he's trying to tell us in this verse, this love that I'm asking you to love and come from has nothing to do with the natural. You better figure out some things in the spiritual to get this to work. And do you need this to work? If you paid attention to my review, you know you need this to work in your life. But you know what happens to people? They're dipping from the wrong place. They're not dipping from the, they're not being skillful. And they're, I was just on the phone today with somebody that's tempted to get into, worry about some things. And I said, listen, we know by the word that worry will hinder our faith. That's us being skillful. We need to be skillful with worry and anxiety and fear. It's not afford. It can't afford it in your life. Well, the same goes with love. We can't afford to not have that in our life. But if we're trying to pull and get this to work or cultivate this fruit from a natural standpoint, we'll fail because there's nothing natural about agape love. You're dipping from the wrong place. Now, you've known me to have dreams. A few spiritual, most not so much. And sometimes I get these dreams and I think, wow, what a night that was. What a movie I was in that night. Wow, that was the star of the show. Or I was, you know, well, I'll just tell you, I wake up sometimes, I get these, and then I don't even think about it, and then I'm putting my message together, and it'll be brought up to me. Oh, I can use that for that. That'll bring it. I had a dream not too long ago, talking about dipping from the wrong place here, because people are trying to go from the natural, and if you don't start doing the right thing spiritually, you'll never get that love cultivated. And I had a dream that I was the prime suspect in a murder. But I was innocent. I really was innocent in the dream. I was innocent. I'm telling them I'm innocent. And there was blood at the scene from the perpetrator and from the victim. And I'm like, listen, I just knew from all the crime shows I've seen and the movies I've seen and things you know about DNA, all you got to do is just dip that needle into my skin and get some of my blood and test it against this. And I was so stressed in the dream because you know how dreams don't make sense. And you're frustrated. I thought, just take a blood sample. Test that blood against my blood and I'll be free. But that's not how they did it at this police station. They had you get off or on whether you're convicted or not convicted, free or guilty, based on earwax. And they were trying to draw earwax from me. And they couldn't get enough earwax to meet the test requirements. And so they kept saying to me, you're the guilty one. They were putting all this liquid in my ear and it was tickling. And they kept telling me, now bend over. And I'd bend over and they'd shake me to try to get the earwax out. Why? I just said, if you dip from the right place, my blood, it will prove me innocent, but they're taken from the wrong thing. And so many people, they're going to work, and their boss or a coworker or in their homes or situations arise or thoughts come, and they're acting in the natural, they're acting carnal, and they're going, this agape love's not working, this agape love, I just can't do it. Yeah, but are you dipping from the right place? You can't expect to get it from the natural. The agape love is not formed or birthed or cultivated in the natural. It's in the spirit. Amen. One, can I tell you an earwax story that will gross you out? One time in college, this will happen to me. One time in college, so I don't want you to think this is a chronic problem I have. Start spreading rumors about me. My one ear was so plugged. I don't know why. I couldn't figure it out. Didn't go swimming. Don't know what I did. Went down to the nurse at JCC, and I said, I have a problem. And she looked in there, and she said, I have the solution. And she brought out one of those little bulb things that you stick water in, and she brought out a bowl of warm water. She filled that thing up and stuck that thing in my ear and squeezed it. And I can't begin to tell you the cool things that came out of my ear. I've never seen such things come out of a human being before, and I just sat there in amazement. I just thought, and they just kept falling out. It was awesome. I needed her to be on the scene in my dream. She would have got the earwax needed to get me off that charge, but she wasn't there, and so I woke up a murder suspect. So somewhere in dreamland, I'm convicted. I'm going to jail. But anyways, they're dipping from the wrong place, so I want to help you. Go to 1 John 4 and verse 16. 1 John 4:16. Yes, indeed. Praise God. I was talking, I think Pastor Scott mentioned this. I don't know, did he mention my Michael Jordan dream last week? He did, yes. I had the pleasure of being Michael Jordan's personal, like, assistant. I got to turn down all the interviews that I didn't think he should have and go places. It was awesome. riding around the car with Michael Jordan. There I was. First John 4 and verse 16. Better get there. It says this. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. Now get this now. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein, verse 17, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So it tells you in verse 16 that if we'll dwell in love, we're dwelling in God. But if you think about dwelling in love, God is love. So if you dwell in love, you're dwelling in God. But also if you dwell in God, you're dwelling in love. If you dwell in love, you're dwelling, they're interchangeable. They're the same thing. So he's saying to us in verse 16, we have known and believed the love God has to us. If we dwell in love, we dwell in God. Or vice versa, you could say, if you'll dwell in God, right, you'll dwell in love. He says, herein is our love made perfect. Wait a minute. How is our love made perfect? Dwelling in God. What does that mean? The Amplified will help you. Go to verse 17 in the Amplified, Kim Lai. Look what it says in verse 17. Now remember, in verse 16, he tells us, dwell in love, you'll dwell in God. Dwell in God, you'll dwell in love. Basically, be around him, pursue him, seek him. You're also going to be in love, like in the realm of love when you're doing that, because he is love. Herein is our love made perfect. You say, I want my love made perfect. I want this agape love to be perfect. I want to produce perfect agape love, faith, power, and love. How do you do it? Here's your answer. Herein is your love made perfect. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion. You're struggling with agape love? It's just because you're struggling with God time. Because more God time, more love time. More you dwell in him, the more love is in you, and you operate in love. Do you see it there? And the King James says, here is our love made perfect. And the Amplified says, it's brought to completion. That fruit that is perfect to power our faith, keep the miracle flow going. How do we get that? Dwelling in God. Dwelling in God. How do I get my love walk fixed? Dwell more in God. Spend more time with God. 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 It's the truth. You can't come out of his presence, being in his presence, with a bitter word on your tongue. You don't come out of his presence with grudges and bitterness. I'll have people come to me, and you can start to see where they start to get over into offense. And they'll start to be critical. Love's not critical. And they'll start to be judgmental. And I'll say to them, and I already know the answer, how much time are you spending in the Spirit? Because these are not Spirit responses. These are not Spirit attitudes. And the answer is, hardly at all, Pastor Mike. That's true. I've met with people that bitter and gripe against one another and bicker and this. How much time are you spending with God? Not very much, Pastor. But I just admit, not very much. Well, that's why love's not operating. Because you want your love to be made perfect? Spend time with him. Dwell in him, praise God. So, real quick, in our last 10 minutes we have here, I want to tell you the two ways to do this. I'm going to not take too much time. We've seen these over and over again. In fact, they're two of the three of the PMA guidelines. My goodness, if people would just listen to me. I mean, if they just listen to me, it solves so many problems. What are the PMA guidelines? Word, prayer, and praise every single day will lead to great things. Now, I want to show you here. Go with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I want you to see this verse from a different angle, a different light. Praise God. Aren't you glad the word never gets old or stale? John chapter 10 and verse 10. How could Jesus hang on the cross in front of people that just nailed him there, spit on him, cursed at him, beat him to a bloody pulp, put a crown of thorns on his head, and his response be mercy? because he was in the Father's presence all the time. His love was made perfect. Why? He constantly dwelled in God. He constantly was in his presence. Amen. John 10 and verse 10 says this, the thief comes to destroy, not before to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I have come that they might have life. Now, when we've talked about this abundant life, this and life more abundantly, we know it's the Greek word zoe. And when we think about this verse a lot of times, and rightly so, we think about what heaven is enjoying, right? Abundant life of heaven, which is what? Prosperity, provision, peace, protection, you know, no sickness and disease. And we believe, wow, Jesus came to give us heaven on earth. But also, a meaning of that word life is the God kind of life. Now think about what the God kind of life really is. The God kind of life is a life that never takes a step out of love. Right? That Zoe life not only is prosperity, it's not only healing and all the promises that we can have heaven on earth, but it's the life that God enjoys. You know what kind of life God enjoys? A life of agape love. Okay? A life that we can't afford not to have. Now, maybe you're not connecting the dots here, but I'm going to help you. So he said, I've come to give you the God kind of life. Well, yeah, prosperity goes with it. Yeah, healing goes with that God kind of life, but you can't separate agape because agape is who he is. Just like he is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He is Jehovah Jireh, the provider, but he's also agape. Okay, so remember this now. The abundant life or the God kind of life that Jesus came to give us is agape love. Now, think about this. You're going to see this. Matthew 4:4, because what are we talking about? Dipping from the right place to walk this agape love out. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live. That's not the heartbeat live. That's abundant life, Zoe, John 10:10 live. He says, man can't do it. What are we talking about? Agape love. What's he saying? If we're just doing it in the context of what we're looking at, man cannot live or walk in agape love by bread alone. What's bread alone? Dipping from the wrong place. The natural. But agape life, or Zoe life, I should say, which is also agape life, is attainable by every word. Jesus said, my words are not natural. They are spirit words. What's that? Dipping from the right place. He said, but it can be attained by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not only does the PMA guidelines keep you built up in your faith going, it keeps your fuel tank full of love. Because you can't. Remember how we've talked about faith comes by hearing and hearing the word? We said this. You can't separate the word and faith. Faith only exists when the word is alive and well. You can't separate the agape life from the word. Remove the word and you remove the ability to walk in the God kind of love. Amen. Do you see that there? Don't believe me. Look at Psalms 119 and verse 165. Psalms 119 and verse 165. I love it. I love the word. Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love the word. Well, when you love the word, just like when I love pizza, I consume it. I love steak, so I consume it. When it's talking about loving the word, if you love the word, you're what? Consuming the word. You're with the word, spending time with the word, learning the word, meditating in the word. But look what it says the result is. Great peace have they which love thy law. What's that verse really saying? Matthew 4:4, feeding on the word of God. But what's the result of that? Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Lovers of the word are people that spend time with the word, which translate, herein is our love made perfect. Herein where? He that dwells in God dwells in love. God is the Word. Great peace have they which dwell in the Word, love the Word, feed on the Word, and nothing will offend them. What's he saying? Not anything can get you to step out of the agape love that God... Now, other things fit there as well, but also being an offense or stumble, because that word offend there means to stumble. It says nothing will cause you to stumble. Well, unforgiveness is a stumbling block. Talking behind people's back, which is out of love, is a stumbling block. Bitterness, grudges, all those types of things that we talk about, unforgiveness, out of love, are stumbling blocks. But the one that loves the Word, nothing can make them stumble. Unforgiveness can't. Why? They don't walk in unforgiveness. They're filled with God, and God doesn't walk with unforgiveness. They don't walk in bitterness. They don't walk in grudges. They don't walk in backbiting and gossip. They walk in love. Why? They love the Word. Boy, I'll tell you what. It really brings to light more and more, Joshua 1:8. Meditate in the Word day and night. Why? Prosperity and good success are the result. The more you're around the Word, the more you're around God. The more you're around God, the more you come out looking like God. The more you come out talking like God, the more you'll come out acting like God, which you can't separate that from love because that's who He is. So we're talking about dipping from the right place. Well, you want to start dipping from that love walk? That love walk's a problem. Your faith's being hindered, all this. Okay, you better start dipping in the Word. That's your answer. But that's not the only way. The second thing, and we'll close with this, is 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Praise God. Love. We're learning to love. It's not a naturally easy thing. It isn't. You can't try to naturally do this. Because there are things that come against you, and there are people that are after you and awful to you and hurtful to you and do nasty things to you, and yet you are still required in the midst of that to walk in agape love. Aren't you? Because remember, they have heard it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But Jesus said, that ain't how it goes in my kingdom. And you can't naturally not hate your enemy. You can't naturally walk off those things. It's a spiritual act that can only be accomplished by the Word and by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. We know that word means to charge. Quiet. We know that word means to charge, to build yourself up. He says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, the result for that person will be strength, will be a building up. Okay, so let me just say this real quick and real bluntly. There's an edification and a charging and a building up that people that refuse to pray in tongues will never know. The Bible says there's an edifying, there's a building up, there's a charging that's available to the tongue talker. So I don't know anything about tongues. Then you better get in the know. So how do I get in the know? Well, that's why I'm here, to help you get in the know. Amen? I'd love to help you get in the know about tongues. Because there's an edification. There's a building up. There's a charging. Now remember, God doesn't build up or charge naturally. It's supernatural. Say, do I want supernatural? Yeah, it supersedes the natural. It's strength and ability that goes beyond the natural realm. But he says, build up by praying in tongues. Okay, so remember that now. You get charged up. Now jump over to Jude 1 and verse 20, and we'll just end on this verse. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, the last book of the Bible before Revelation. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. There's only one chapter in this, so it's easy to find it. Here we go. Remember, be in the Word. You can't walk in agape love without the Word. It's impossible. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. Whose job is it to build yourselves up? Your job. How do you do that? Well, same way 1 Corinthians 14:4 said, praying, building up your mouths in your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. But notice there's a comma. That means the thought's not over. Look at what it says in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the agape of God. Do you see that there? Now, let's read that in the Amplified. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. What's he saying? When you're built up and praying in the Holy Ghost, the result is you can stay in a place, praise God, right? That you need to be, which is the love of God. I love what the Message Bible says. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love. Praise the Lord. You know what praying in tongues is? It's your love anchor. You know what an anchor on a boat does? Keeps you from drifting away. If you find a spot that you want to stop at and have lunch at or swim or a good fishing hole or whatever, and you know, if you don't put that anchor down, and if you don't tie up this, if you don't tie it down to a dock, you just go out in the water. I want to stay here all day. Well, if you don't put an anchor down, even on the calmest of calm days, you're not going to stay in the same spot. You have to put the anchor down. What's the love anchor? Tongues is the love anchor. The person, okay, I'll just say it this way to make it easier. The offended person, the bitter person, the unforgiving person, the gossiper, the backbiter, the grudge holder is not the same person that's anchored in the Word and in praying in tongues. They haven't put an anchor down. They're just drifting off into offense land and anger land and unforgiveness and backbiting land and grudge land. Ladies and gentlemen, your love is dependent upon it. I mean, you've just been given on a silver platter the key to how to walk in God kind of love. And where we're going to go from here in this series, it seems good in my heart to go to specific things that we need to renew our mind to that are not okay. Unforgiveness has become so normal. Strife in homes and between people is so normal. It is. Being offended. Oh, I don't like something. America, we get offended over everything in America. I mean, it's like everybody's just looking for something to get offended at. It's normal. And it's all things that will rip your anchor up and get you drifting off into the devil's territory. Amen. Well, I was blessed. I'd preach myself so happy, and I feel built up. Praise God. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we know we can't afford to be out of love, and you told us how to work it, how to produce it, how to cultivate it. Lord, my prayer always is that people's eyes would be open to this, that, Father, it would be real to them. Any correction, any adjustments that need to be made, Father, I pray that they would make those adjustments. You're not trying to hurt us. You're not trying to bash us over the head. You're not trying to condemn us. You're always trying to build us up and get us into more. And at times, Father, it's the things we're doing wrong that are hurting us. And we need to fix those things. So I pray for everybody to get a revelation of this. Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for your mercy, for your kindness, and for your love. Father, we know love is the world's solution. Love is the solution. It's the solution to so many things, that great power. What would that look like in our own lives if that force was free to do what it's meant to do? Oh, Father, it is a miracle-working force. Praise your holy name. We bless you tonight and honor the name of Jesus. Father, we are so thankful that you didn't just toss us aside or you didn't just make some statement of words. We know that actions speak louder than words. You demonstrated to us that you love us by giving us Jesus. Jesus is our ticket to heaven. Jesus is our ticket to eternal life. Jesus is our ticket back to fellowship with you. Jesus is our ticket to righteousness. He's our ticket to healing and provision and peace and protection. And Lord, it all came through the demonstration of your love to put him on the cross. Jesus, thank you that you were willing to do it. Nobody forced you. The Father didn't even force you. The devil couldn't make you do it. You laid your life down because agape love was at the forefront. And the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross, that if we would believe in him, we would have everlasting life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around in this building. Of course, I know there might be people watching online, and please don't miss out because we're at the end of service that you just tune me out. This is so important. Your eternity depends on this. Everybody asks themselves this question right now. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer on the inside of your head or in your heart isn't, yeah, for 100%, no, I'd go to heaven, you need Jesus. And God gave Jesus for you so that you would not have to perish and go to hell. And then you'd have everlasting life. He wants to become a father to you. He wants to save you. You say, how do I do it, Pastor Mike? I've not been a good person. I don't know very much about this stuff. I'm not a churchy person. I have some bad history, past things. Doesn't matter. It's all about what you do with Jesus right here and right now. He didn't say if you were perfect. He didn't say if you had a great church attendance. He didn't say if your good deeds outweighed your bad. He said if you'll believe on him. If in your heart of hearts you can say, you know what, I do believe in Jesus. I don't understand everything. I can't figure everything out. And my mind fights me on it. But in my heart, I believe in him. You are qualified for salvation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in this room right now? You've never received Jesus. Nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you. And you want to receive Jesus for the very first time. Is there anybody, if you want to receive him, just lift your hand up in the air. Anybody, if you've never done it before, if you've already done it, you don't have to do it again. Is there anybody that wants to do that? I see your hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Now you make sure you mean this with all your heart. Jesus loves you so much. If there's anybody else that's by live stream, you want to get involved in this, of course I can't see your hand. It's okay. Hand raising is not how you get saved. It's believing and receiving Jesus. So now listen up. This is very important. For that person that raised their hand, and for anybody online that wants to receive this, you have a job to do now. And your job is to believe and receive Jesus. And you might say, how do I do that, Pastor Mike? I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And in that prayer, you're going to confess that you believe in him and you're going to ask Jesus into your life. All you need to do is repeat what I say, but you need to mean it with all your heart. I'm just giving you the words to help you in this new endeavor. But for those that raised their hand and for those that are listening online that need this, along with everybody else in the church, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. He loves you so much. Praise God. If you prayed that, the next step is to come to church faithfully. Be in church as much as you can. Learn about God. He said, Pastor Mike, I thought you said it had nothing to do with church attendance. Heaven doesn't, but receiving all that God has for you, you need a pastor. You need to learn these things. And so we'd love to see you here. If not here, let me know where you live. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church if there's one in your area. If not, you're welcome to stay with us online here. But at this time, we're going to take up our offering. Are we doing that after church? Go with me to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. Of course, thank you for your faithfulness to give. We know it's such a vital part of the ministry. And, of course, this is our building fund. And I, like a genius, left my offering at home on my desk. But I did text Jeff and told him I'll double up tomorrow. So I'll make sure I'm not trying to skirt it. Say, oh, there's one of those preachers, you know, telling us to give and forgets his at home. Sure you did, Pastor Mike. But I did. 1 Chronicles 29. And if you need prayer after service or would like me to agree with you on something or hands laid on you, come on to the front. I do have my mask here. If you're more comfortable with me wearing that when we pray for you, I'd be happy to do that and abide by that. But don't think because we're in social distancing and doing stuff to go by that prayer is not available. No, prayer is always available. So 1 Chronicles 29 in verse 1, I always like to talk about this or mention this when it comes to building because David had a heart after God, and it's so important to bring forth David's heart because I wonder what people's heart is towards the building fund once a month. Because if it's, well, you know, if I remember, great, or if I have a little left over at the end of the month, maybe I'll give something to the building fund. If that's your attitude, it's the wrong attitude. This is the house of God. This is His house where we come and learn and worship Him, praise God. And David said, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace, he called it a palace, is not for man, but for the Lord God. Hallelujah. He says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Notice this. I never saw this before. I mentioned this. He prepared. He didn't just last minute, what can I dig up? You know, every single month, it's designated building fund for the house of God. Now remember, the Bible said David had a heart after God. God loved David's heart. And David said, my heart, as I'm preparing this. And he went on to say all these great things down through verse 3 of all, and verse 4, all the sacrifices through verse 5, all the sacrifices. But what I want you to see is verse 3 is why he did it. Moreover, because I have set my affection. Oh, we're affectionate towards a lot of things. Are we affectionate towards the plan, the building, the house of God that God's blessed us with? I mean, there were times in the desert at the Hampton Inn where it seemed like we're going to be there forever. There were times in the warehouse. Remember when the Durants came the first time and the heat didn't work? Sister Annie had to preach in 50-degree temperatures and my toes were icicles by the end of it. And it seemed like we're never getting out of there. And look what God blessed us with. But it's not free. It's got to be taken care of. There's upkeep. There's maintenance. There's a payment. And David said, because I love, or my affections with the house of God, I am providing this of my own good. I'm preparing it. Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you didn't have that attitude this month, make it a point to say, you know, I want to be like David. I want God to say, that's a heart after me. I want God needs to look at his people and say, oh, they care about my home, my house. They care about my palace, praise God. So what can you do? Next month, I want to prepare a building fund offering. I don't want to give God off the bottom. I don't want to just give God what's left over, what I can find in my couch cushions. I want to prepare something for the house of my God. And he'll bless you for that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Love you. Appreciate you. You are dismissed. Praise God.